Welcome to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast, where we try to showcase individual perspectives of recent graduates about different pathways of life. I'm Arjit Singh.
And I'm Himanshu Bhatia.
And together, we will try to uncover what it means to have a traditional career.
This isn't our first take, but we're still very excited to bring on our guest today. So let's start the show.
Our guest today is an extremely talented artist. Her work doesn't just display vibrancy of colors, but thoughts. It's as though there is a world of color inside her head. After getting a Bachelor of Arts in Fashion Media Communication, she worked in fashion and production before switching gears to work as a graphic designer. Now, she works as an assistant art editor for Penguin Publishing House. Without further ado, our guest, Bhavnoor Manocha.
Hi, Bhavnoor.
Hello.
Bhavnoor, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
So, thank you for having me here.
Of course.
You know, I was genuinely interested in getting to know how you switched from being a fashion media student to working in the graphics and art industry. Could you maybe talk about that and how does that correlate?
So it wasn't an easy journey. I got the time of 1 year to prove myself, in which I got into Pearl Academy of Design. And I didn't know much about the career at first, but all I knew that there's fashion and there's arts, and that's the best combination that I have, which is why I got into it. So the first year started off as foundation, and I just went through it. And after getting my first scholarship, I knew that this is exactly what I need to do. And my family, after finally seeing my scores and the passion and the drive with which I work, they did let me finally pursue this career. So, yeah.
Okay, so you talked about scholarships. Could you maybe touch up upon that? I know that you mentioned that it was hard. And I understand that it's hard for, you know, anybody, I guess, in the Indian tradition to usually let their children just go into the arts and in the fashion industry. Was the scholarship maybe your first achievement that you're proud of, or was there something else? And how did you get that scholarship?
I was a very average student in school, not like a bright, or I was more of a person who was into culture and classical dance and everything. So I knew that I always had an inclination towards arts or events kind of a thing. So my family, being, I had my grandparents at my place, so they never even knew the fact that, you know, girls go out and they pursue a career in arts. All they knew is it's all right, then it's fashion, then it's related to clothes, and that's it. There's nothing more. I guess till date, even my grandparents don't know that what I actually do. All they tell other people is, she does fashion design. Yeah, that's what she does. So the journey was more of like only one person from every batch gets a scholarship. And for that, you need to score the top of the class. So four consecutive years, I don't know, it was luck or probably just my hard work that I managed to get 4 years of scholarship in my course.
That's awesome. And I bet it's not just luck. I think it's a lot of hard work as well. Yeah,
it is quite impressive. We were going through it the other day, and I mean, the other guy was quite impressed, not to say the least. I'm not a critic by any means. So yeah, I can't say much on that. But since in school, I knew, and you've been painting all that time, and I think you made a decision early on that you want to go into something like an arts or something. But when did you decide, like, okay, fashion is something, or maybe just graphic design is something that I really want to do? When did that decision came into your life?
Frankly, graphic design came very later on. I decided that I wanted to do something in fashion and in arts in high school around 10th standard. I didn't change my school because it was actually a tough job to leave your friends and move to another culture altogether. So I planned on taking on commerce, and I knew that fashion is all I have to do. Then I started taking on classes for NIFT, and actually I cracked NIFT also, but due to, again, family reasons, I wasn't allowed to commute to a different state or a country altogether. So, which is why I got into Perl. And after third year, actually, I decided, all right, that graphic design is something I need to do, because it was a perfect link between traditional art and design. So that's how I landed in graphics.
Perfect. So I think you mentioned something about like a competitively focused course, right? So how did you maybe get into that? Because I know that, you know, I personally, when I came to the US, it was like I had to compete against, I think, 80, 85 people to get into my course, and they only select 45 every year. So I knew that if I did not get into that, I did not really have like a backup. Because when I came from India, I really didn't know that that was going to be something that they, you know, make you do. But every summer, it's like, it's a pressure that's put on you. And you're like, okay, if I don't get in this year, either I come back or I switch and do something else. And really, I did not want to do something else. And I think that's where you're coming on from too, because you had the family pressure and you had like the pressure of making sure that you make it into the industry. You know, how did that pressure maybe play a toll on you, and how did you manage through that?
So when I was in 12th standard, before even getting into, before even taking the courses for this, my mother came to me one night and she's like, do you even think that you can do it? I have seen you and I don't even think you have that much of caliber. I said, why would you say that to me? And I guess just that thing never left my head. And I knew that this is what I have to do. And I have to prove her, I have to prove my family that I know that I haven't got a chance in all through my school life to prove to you, but this is it. This is what I have to do. And in my first year, I had a lot of challenges. I had no friends. I was just like, probably you can call an animal who just used to go to college, work, 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 come back home, work again. Actually, I was excited to work more of it. It never felt as a pressure. The only pressure was because I had to prove to so many people, which you can count as a drive also. So yeah, it did take quite a toll on my mental health, but it was worth it, all I can say.
And like adding on to that, how did you get through that? Because I know you've been doing yoga for the last year. I think you started a year back, and mental health has been something that's, you know, a trend right now, but it's something that we need. And people do overlook that.
Initially, I wasn't even aware that something is actually troubling me. It's something known as anxiety or probably going into depression was something, a thing. I just had this serious, butterfly in my stomach, you can say. But then how it moved on to palpitations and breathlessness and everything before the jury day. And so after fourth year, after 4 years of actually going through this, I was introduced to meditation from a very close friend of mine. And that's how I landed into it. And now I'm a very more resolved person than I was last year.
You know, do you ever have a mental block, if you may, like because of all the pressure, and how do you maybe push through that? So do you have a time where you just, let's say, you know, you can't push through that creativity? You know, as a designer, I see myself being in those times when there's a lot of pressure, because, you know, we would have to do all-nighters as well, right? You know, being there in studio from, I don't know, like 8 a.m. to maybe sometimes 2 a.m. the next day. There are times when you face mental blocks where you really don't know how to push through that creativity. How do you deal with that?
So during college times, I had my days when I didn't used to sleep, two nights in a row. Nonstop, we had to work. Because the jury was right head on. But now, considering that I'm working in a more corporate environment, I cannot say that I have to pull late nights, but I do have mental blockages. One thing that has really helped me is an art journal that I've started from a year back. So all I do is just take a piece of paper and just, I just stop work. I just stop using technology altogether. My phones, my laptop and everything is just shut down. I have my music on. I just take all my art supplies and I put my heart and soul into it. And I guess that has really helped to break that block in my head. And yes, at times when I don't have that much of leverage and luxury to actually sit down and give my all, I practice meditation. I take at least 15-20 minutes of my day. I just close my eyes and I just concentrate on my breathing. That's all. Let my thoughts pass by and be in the moment.
You know, you're talking about that art journal, and it's funny how important it is for a person, not just a designer, to express themselves in their daily life. What do you think, like, what's something about you that you still can't express today and you really want to get into?
I sometimes feel that there is a need for people to understand that there is no pressure with anybody out there to fight. It's just something that you have to work on yourself. I mean, especially youngsters like us, especially artists who just feel that where is the end of growth? Like, how should I actually, you know, where is that one line where I know this is it that I have to learn? So, which is why as a long-term plan, I plan to pursue lecturership, and I need to bring out this message to people like us that there is no competition. There is nothing that you have to compete. Your art, your talent is something that you have in you, and it's absolutely yours. So just embrace it and actually cherish what you have rather than going in that drive, going in that, I don't know, competition, a race that you have to do.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think because you mentioned, you know, being a lecturer and maybe going into the teaching side of things, you know, I was actually talking to one of my mentors a few weeks ago, and he was talking to me about maybe, you know, making my own school in India. Because when I was talking to him, I kind of mentioned that, you know, if somebody paid for me to go to school forever, I would. You know, I don't want to work. I just want to go to school, always want to keep learning.
Yeah.
I think as a designer, we do that regularly, finding inspiration from different things and stuff like that. But being able to push that out to the community is really important, you know. And so you do the art journal. You also do freelance, I know. And, you know, you also work your full-time job. How do you balance all that? Do you have mentors that you usually talk to that maybe help you figure out what projects are important and what aren't? Because as designers, you know, we can't take up everything. We have to pick and choose our battles and see what maybe the best thing to take on. Do you have some mentors that you talk to? And if yes, how often do you talk to them? And where and how do you find them?
Sadly, I don't have a mentor. I have 2-3 faculty from college whom I do tend to contact at times where I feel that probably there's an international competition, which is, you know, how much do I need to do or what exactly do I need to do for that. But while for taking freelance projects, it's absolutely based on how much I want to do, how much interesting that project is, and how much it actually justifies my effort to put into it. If it's just a regular thing that I have to do, I genuinely don't pursue some kind of project like that because it's never about money. Touch wood, it has not been for me. I do projects which I actually like, and that's how it's been. Art journal is something more of a practice which has helped me keep in touch with my roots and not leave the traditional side of it, which I actually was and who I am. Graphics was something that I found a connection between technology and led me into it, but which is why art journal is something that I practice. Freelance is more for the weekends, and weekdays is for my regular 9-to-5 job.
So freelancing and, you know, your job, a person learns through their job quite a lot. And I personally found what you learn in school doesn't really help you that much in the industry or how the industry works. But how do you think, you know, a student or any other person who wants to get into design, maybe, how do they learn? What are the resources out there? What are the ways?
One thing that I actually learned being in this industry was to actually take your college studies really importantly, because I guess art doesn't follow a traditional pattern of learning. We have more of hands-on projects and juries and presentations, which really helps in the, you know, to be a part of the industry during that, as well as constantly be in touch with your mentors and take part in international competitions. It really helps to learn new things and, learn off your regular assignments that you need to do. I took part in a lot of international competitions, although I just won one. It was from London School of Design. Further, I guess post that, internships helped a lot. Considering I was not very sure about what do I need to pursue as a career, because fashion media communications gave a lot of options to me. I went into events, I went into production, I went into photography, I went into branding and whatnot, and finally settled into graphics. So internships help you a lot to get to know what you actually want to pursue. After that, I guess self-learning. You just need to be very upfront with the applications like Behance. I guess every other designer would know about it. And then you just need to be very savvy with even social media, for that matter, when you follow and take inspiration from various artists. And that has, and online learning has also helped me a lot. My job gives me a platform where we have regular courses that I can do. So I have been doing that as well. So to brush up my skills, yeah, and freelance projects as well.
Kind of going off of that, what would be, because you mentioned, you know, that college is important, right? And what you do in college is maybe going to be the base of what you do in the industry, even if it's not directly exactly the thing that you do, right? So what would be one action or inaction that you would do if you could go back to college?
One thing that I think that I should have done in my college years, I should have made contacts. I was so much into my assignments and my work and my projects that I didn't get a chance to talk to people and actually get to, because this is that I feel like this would have probably helped me post college. And even my seniors and juniors, nobody, like even my batchmates, I could have talked to more. Obviously, there were reasons why I didn't have what I have today. But I think this is one thing that I should have changed, because contacts are very, very important, even for collaborations, even for to be a part of the industry, if you need to pursue this. So this is one thing that I should have done.
So would you say networking is the only thing that maybe you weren't taught about, or maybe you weren't taught about that, how important it is, and something that you want to tell others? Or are there some other things as well that maybe you missed out on right now?
And coming off of that too, how important do you think group projects are coming out of college? Or even like now going into the industry, you know, being in the industry, because you have to work with the people that are around you, how important it is to have those group projects in your portfolio?
Which is exactly what I said, that art is never a competition. You are contributing to the society as an individual, and there you would just produce better art if you would actually collaborate with people. This I learned on at a very early stage in college because of group projects. Yes, we have various types in college where one person is just not working, one person is just clueless about what's happening. There's just probably one person who is just working, but you still get to learn a hell lot of things. Which is why from group project, I learned the reason that I could win the first prize in London School of Design was because it was a group, it was a group project. Yes. Which is why networking comes into place, which is why it is important to know that your companions that you need to work with them, gather their knowledge and share what you have with them. Which is why it is very important in the industry also to work directly. I have done 2-3 collaboration projects with designers, but I didn't get a chance to do more because right after college, I got into job and that's there. But yes, group projects are extremely, extremely important.
Yeah. So what does an average day for an assistant art editor look like? And, talking about like group projects and now that you're working from home, how different has it been and how difficult has it been working with your team?
Initially, it was extremely difficult because I figured out there that the more times goes into actually talking to people rather than churning out work, the more the number of meetings, the flow of actually working just breaks because you just have to contact the people and tell what you're doing, if it's all right or not. And considering that it's such a huge company, it's a publishing house, there are so many levels that, you know, one particular design needs to go through. I still remember I was working on a project. It was about countries of the world. One spread took me 3 weeks to crack. 3 weeks, and I'm not even kidding. Every time it used to go to my manager, some mistake again, and that country was China. So it just wasn't easy. Working from home, it has just got tougher. I just feel that I'm not able to give my 100% to what I'm doing today. But I think that soon things would be better. And so the regular day looks like I wake up at 9 o'clock. I have my regular meeting. That's so we get a brief in the morning about what we have to do. And we start designing the spreads for the day. Currently, I'm working on a project which is about physics. So I really have to study in the morning about what I'm actually about to design so that I know about the particular topic. And then we get half a day to deliver some amount of these spreads. After that, in the lunchtime, I take a breather. I meditate for 15-20 minutes because it is important because I tend to work at a big ass machine. It's a huge Mac, so it does hinder my sight and my back as well. So I take a breather and then second half goes again like that. And then I get into workout and that's it. That's it for the day.
So that's maybe part of your work-life balance is getting that 15 minutes in the middle of it. And then, you know, a little bit of the workout in the end too.
Yeah. It's more of a necessity now, I feel.
Right. What else? What else do you do for like that work-life balance?
I practice a lot of self-care actually. So if like after 3 days, if I'm just feeling okay that, you know, today was too hectic, I just gather all my beauty supplies. I just sit down and I just practice. Probably 2 hour long self-care. I think it's like it's not even justified, but yeah, that really helps me going. I dance for no reason sometimes, and I tend to take a break. I just take a day off and do nothing, sleep all day, probably sketch, binge watch Netflix, and randomly, because thankfully my company even appreciates that kind of breaks. If we can say that, you know, considering that today we have a mental block day and tomorrow we won't be working, so they let us take a day off and get a breather and come back the next day and continue.
Okay. Yeah. Taking about how you know, taking a day off and everything and living with the parents, I would say now that we're working, how different is that day off for them? Like, how do they treat that day? I know, I guess they are happy about it, but it's still, I guess they feel like, okay, what are you doing? Be productive for at least some days. And they don't know how much we being productive by not being productive that day. So yeah, how do you deal with that?
That's a good one, Image.
Okay, so the previous 2 weeks, my family actually went through COVID. 6 out of 3 people were detected positive, and we had to, so during that time, I had to check, take charge. Obviously, my brother also, just the two of us took charge and, divided everybody into the house, and we were home quarantined. So during that period of time, I guess my family is so used to seeing me work that now when I actually sit down to work, it's just probably my mom, my mom is randomly walking here during a Zoom call meeting that, what are you doing? Why are you not eating? At times I have a meeting going on and it is very important for her to put food right into my mouth because apparently that is more important than what is going on right now. And I have to literally give her a look. I said, listen, there is something going on and it's one of the factors. Another thing, taking a day off is not understood by an Indian family. They feel that every day needs to be as productive. Even on weekends, you are not allowed to probably sleep past 12 p.m. because that's luxury for you. What are you even doing with your life? And I would thank probably some kind of social media awareness probably or something like that. My parents now do tend to understand the importance of mental health. And I have actually made an effort to talk to them that, listen, taking a day off is important. I need a breather and I need some change. So now they actually understand. They just let me be. But it was a journey, of course. And they have their days to actually understand this. But it has got a little better. But I guess Hemant understands the exact feeling of living with a family.
Right, right. And I think that'll always be there until people in India live with their parents. It's always going to be there. I think I'm actually having to come back to my parents as well. So it's definitely going to be one of those things where I have to find that balance. But I mean, you did mention, on your free days, you do also sketch. You do also those things that you really enjoy, right? Coming off of that, is work ever work when you really love it that much and love it as much as you do? And I know that, that's a very basic question, but it's something that's always important to bring back up because some people don't realize how important it is to be able to enjoy what you do. And coming off of that also, how important is it to be working under someone like you are right now? And then eventually, how do you break through that? Do you ever want to go into the business side of things?
Go from that?
So it is a very important thing that Arjit has just brought up. I remember when I was in school and I didn't know what to do before high school, somebody asked me, so what are you actually wanting to pursue as a career? And there was just one thought in my mind. I just felt that, even if someone woke me up in the middle of the night and they just asked me to do this, would I be willing to do it or would it be more of a pressure? Which is why taking up graphic design took me a little while because I got into events and I exactly used to ask the same question to me when I used to sleep that, next day if somebody woke me up that, come on, I need to, you need to talk to these many people or, gather these many people, would you be willing to do that? And I just had my answer, which is why I knew that when I got into design, when I got into graphic design, I asked the same question and I knew it. I knew this is it that I have to pursue. Moving on from actually working under someone to freelance, it's just one of the reasons that I am working is because I've seen that working under someone also makes you learn a lot. There are a few technicalities, a few skills that I have learned working under someone. Whereas freelance just helps me freshen up those apparently and actually stick to my style. So right now I feel there is actually a balance of both needed. Once I feel that there is nothing more that I can learn from this particular 9-to-5 job, then I would move to probably some other design studio, maybe, because in the end that's my goal. I need to understand the how does it work just for that. Then post that, the end goal is to open a company of my own, because I don't think I would be willing to work under someone, as it does not do justice to my efforts and to my design. I guess every designer out there would agree to this, which is why designers now prefer more of freelance work. And actually studios have started opening up and actually promoting this idea more rather than a 9-to-5 kind of a job.
Where do you see your company land 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, and how is that different? What do you want to do with that company? Do you wish to push change into the community? Do you want to educate people? What do you want to do with that design company?
One of the things that would be the crux of my company is that I wouldn't employ people. It would be more of a freelance based thing. I would just collaborate. I would want more and more of people to be a part of a project that they're more passionate in, and not something that I believe in, something that we believe in. So one of the things, it would obviously work better monetary wise also for me, because it would be a project based thing, and it would be more of a bigger goal also out there, because I need to exactly bring this same message out to the society as well. The ultimate goal would be, I feel, catering to every person's individual design and actually learn from each other. I don't want my company to represent something. I want my people to represent something.
So coming off of that, like, I do have a question for both of you, and it's almost time for us to end the show, but why do you think that design isn't given that importance in our life? Like, even you had to prove to your parents, and I'm sure Arjit had to make a decision with his parents as well about that. And even I chose engineering because it was a safer choice. We all know that, but why is that?
Panur, I'm going to let you answer that, and then I might have a little bit of input on that as well.
I feel that why this is some kind of a thing is because probably I don't think so that enough justice, or probably there's a actual industry out there. I feel that when it comes to cinematography, you have films, all right? You have Bollywood, you have Hollywood, you have cinema. But that's the thing about art, that even film is art. Even design is art, even fashion is art, even engineering is art. So which is why it is very difficult for others to understand this kind of thing, because it's so broad. And which is why I guess even society does not do justice to designers like us, because apparently you wouldn't know how much of an effort would have gone to design one particular logo. Probably, it is just a very vague example that I'm giving, but that comes to every bit of a thing. Now, and you might not know that how much of effort would have gone into a film, probably. So art is divided into so many things, which is why I feel we are more doubtful for it to pursue, because it's always a fight between, head over heart or heart over head. So I guess that's just where you have to be. If you know, I guess Arjit would also agree to this, that if you know that you need to do this, then it's a do or die kind of situation. And then only then artists like us actually, come out of this shell and pursue this. Otherwise, I guess, if I didn't know that this is what I had to pursue, even I would have gone into a safer option like engineering or probably CA or any other typical commerce job. Yeah.
I think that's a very, very interesting answer, right? I do see in the design field that the people that are in the design field, actually, they give a lot more importance to what we do, right? People that are not in the design field don't really give us as much importance. They don't understand what it means to have a certain kind of product semantics, right? They don't understand what the importance of color is. They don't understand what a certain font can do, you know? What kind of emotion is it throwing at you? You know, the posters that you design, the sketches that you do, the confidence strokes that you have in your portfolio. I think that's something that I'm going to learn from you as well. And I think that's what our audience can learn from you as well. I think it is very, very important to make sure that we as designers are pushing each other's community projects and making sure that everybody knows each other, right? And we say this in the US that the design community in the US is small enough to where somebody or the other is going to be connected to somebody that you want to talk to, right? If they want to connect you to someone, they will only do that if they know you are the right person for it. So I think coming off of that, we would love to stay connected. If you want to give our audience, you know, the place to find you. I know you have an Instagram. I know you have a Behance. How can they find you?
Yes, Behance, I guess, is the exact place where they can find me. And obviously, I'm a very social person. So anybody can contact me through Instagram as well. They can find me as Bhavnur Minocha and even on Behance. One thing I would like to add to what Arjun just said was the how, you know, people don't understand the importance of colors and everything. I don't know why. I just feel too passionately about it that even in my final year, we had to actually think about something to give out as a final year project. And I went to my faculty and I was just like, can I do something just on colors? Just colors. I don't have the final product in my head, but this is what I want to do. And I came up with a newspaper based on color. It had everything A to Z on it, and it is available on my Behance profile as well to see. But yes, I feel every word of what Arjun said is absolutely true, and I would love to stay connected with each one of you, and that's where you can find me.
Thanks for being on the show, Bhavnur. This has been incredible. I'll put your Instagram and Behance link in the description for anyone to find, and I'm sure we can go over that color newspaper. I'm really interested to see where that leads.
I saw your portfolio too, and I was really actually interested in getting to know more about the stuff. So I'm definitely going to be snooping through that. But it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's been an honor having to actually converse with an engineer and a designer so passionately after so long. So thank you for having me.
Of course.
It's some weird name, but. This has been your host, Hemant Bhatia.
And Arjit Singh.
And you've been listening to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast. If you found value in this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. And as always, let us know how we can make this better.
A traditional career is always untraditional. Thanks for listening.